What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, these NBA playoffs have really heated up. I mean, we had multiple fights over the weekend, not just get-in-your-face fights, like literally dudes like pushing and shoving each other and getting in each other's faces at the end of games, at the beginning of the games, getting thrown out of games. So it's been pretty interesting to watch these NBA playoffs because at first, it kind of, you know, there are a couple series that are pretty much runaways right now, but even so, there's been a lot of battling between the players, and it's actually been very fun to watch. So let's get right into the first series of the weekend between the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers, and this one's pretty much been dominated by Boston all weekend, actually throughout the entire series. Game three, Boston took the series took the game 108-100. Jason Tatum had 25 points, 7 assists. Jaylen Brown had 25.7 rebounds, and Peyton Pritchard had 15 points. And at first, it kind of looked like Philadelphia was going to come to play in this game, and it was a relatively close game, but then Boston finally started to put it together in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. They really started to get going. And Peyton Pritchard and Tatum, they really took over that fourth quarter and really just never looked back, and the Celtics got the win in game three. And then game four, it was not even close ever at any point. This was probably one of the worst games of the playoffs so far because it was just that much of an ass kicking. The Celtics won 128-96, and it was never close at any point. This was a wire-to-wire Boston Celtics win. Tatum went off for 30 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds, so he is just getting stronger as the series goes on. I'm telling you, he is looking like he is just fine, and you better watch out for this Celtics team because they are looking hot. Brown had 20 points and 7 rebounds, and then Pritchard again had a huge game, and this time he had 32 points. He was on fire in this one, really could not be stopped, and that's just kind of what the Celtics look like right now. They are just unstoppable on the offensive side of the ball. Game five is Tuesday, and the Celtics right now are up 3-1, so they could close this game out on Tuesday night, or close this series out on Tuesday night. Then the next series we're going to talk about is the Lakers at the Houston against the Houston Rockets. The Rockets finally got a win in this series, but this series has pretty much been dominated all by the Lakers, but also by LeBron James. Man, this dude has been. It is crazy to watch what he is doing on the court at 41 years old, at the level that he's playing at, and just really shouldering the load. And in Game 3, he continued to do that. The Lakers got an overtime win, 112-108. Houston really did crumble in overtime. It looked like they could have easily got this win, but they just pretty much crumbled. And LeBron was, him and Smart and Rui in this game. In game three, they were just killing it. LeBron had 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists, so he was all over the court. Marcus Smart, though, he has been a hidden gem, and I knew this was going to be where he shined, was in the postseason, because I knew the regular season, he was going to do his thing, but the postseason is really where Marcus Smart just always comes to play, and he had 21 points, 10 assists, and 5 steals. What I love about Smart, though, he does the dirty work. He's the defender. I mean, even though he can go off offensively and he gets you a bunch of assists and everything, he is sneaky on the defensive side of the ball. He will do the grimy work. He will get in the paint. He will get in somebody's face. He will piss you off. And that's what I love about Marcus Smart, and he's doing that in this series. He has been huge. Then Rui Hachimura, he had 22 points in this one as well, and the Lakers got the win in overtime. Then game four, the Houston Rockets finally got a win. It looked like it was going to be a sweep at first, but I don't know. The Lakers, it kind of felt like, I don't know what it was. It was just a very odd game from them. It kind of felt like nobody showed up at all. I mean, even LeBron, he had something like 8 turnovers as well, so it was not a good game from him even. But the Lakers just really could not get it going. But Houston did. They got the win 115-96. Amen Thompson had 23.7 assists. Shane Goon had 19.6 rebounds. Tari Eason had 20 points and 8 rebounds. So a very dominating game by the Houston Rockets. And game five is Wednesday in Los Angeles. And the Lakers now have a 3-1 lead up on the Rockets, so they could close that one out on Wednesday. Then the next series we're going to talk about is the San Antonio Spurs and the Portland Trail Blazers. And this weekend was dominated by the Spurs. The Spurs took game three, 120-108. Stephon Castle had a huge game, 33 points. By the way, Wemby did not play in game three. He was out with that concussion. Then Harper had 27 points, 10 rebounds. Fox had 18 points. Everybody else stepped it up in Wemby's absence. And then Wemby did come back in game four, and San Antonio dominated that one as well, 114-93. Wemby had a huge game, 27 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 blocks. De'Aaron Fox had 28 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds. And then Castle had 16 points in this one in an all-around dominating win by the Spurs. Game 5 is Tuesday, and the San Antonio Spurs right now have a 3-1 lead over the Trail Blazers, so they can close that one out on Tuesday. Then the next series we're going to talk about is the Orlando Magic versus the Detroit Pistons, which has probably been the most shocking series of them all. Game 3. Dominated by the Orlando Magic. Detroit really didn't have much of a chance in this one. Cade Cunningham had a fantastic game, but other than him, pretty much everybody else on the Pistons disappeared. Orlando, on the other hand, their team went off. They got the win 113-105. Paolo Banchero, he has not only been having a great playoff series, his second half of the season was just beautiful. He has just been having a great second half of his season, and it's really carried on over into the playoffs. He's really been dominating. He's really been shining, and really, you know, he's a young player, so it's like you never know how they're going to perform in their, it's not his first playoffs, I don't believe. I think he's been in the playoffs one other time, but even so, he is shining right now. He had 25 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists. Then Bane had 25 points, Wagner had 17 points, and it was just an all-around dominating win by the Orlando Magic. Game 4 is tonight, Monday, and the series is tied up at 1 in this one. Then the next series we're going to talk about is another blowout series between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Phoenix Suns. Oklahoma City has just dominated this series as expected, because Phoenix is just not a good team. Especially when you put them up against a team like Oklahoma City, you can see that they are not a good team. And in Game 3, it was shown that they are not a good team. Oklahoma City got the win 121-109. SGA had 42 points and 8 assists in this one. Game 4 is Monday, and Oklahoma City can close that one out because they are up 3-0. So they could get the nice, clean sweep and sit around and wait for my Lakers for the next round. Then the next series we're going to talk about is the New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks. This has actually been quite the series. Probably the best series, really. I mean, both teams have really come to play. Atlanta has not wilted at all, but they did in Game 4. The Knicks got a huge win, 114-98. Karl Anthony Towns had a monster game. He had a triple-double in this one, 20 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. OG Anunoby also had a huge game, double-double, 22 points, 10 rebounds. And Brunson, he only had 19 points. So that's just an okay night for Brunson. They didn't need him to show out, but Karl Anthony Towns sure did. Game 5 is Tuesday night, and they are all tied up at 2. So like I said, this is probably the best series in the first round so far, just because both teams have really came to play and really aren't letting up. It kind of feels like once one team gets the upper hand, the other one is like, nah, we're still here. So don't be shocked if this series actually goes the full 7. Then we're going to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves and Denver Nuggets series, which has been quite the chippy series. I mean, I did mention that tempers have been flaring in the majority of these series, but this one was where it really came to a head the other day in Game 4. But that's because they are division rivals. They already have some animosity towards each other. And then in this one, unfortunately, the Minnesota Timberwolves lost a couple of players in this one. But they did get the win in Game 4, 112-96, and it was pretty much all dominated by Minnesota for the most part. Ant Edwards, unfortunately, went down with a knee injury, and they really haven't even said what the full extent of that injury is and how long he's going to be out. So we don't know about that, but the big injury that we do know about is Dante DiVincenzo. He suffered a ruptured Achilles injury, and you could tell right off the bat it was one of those things when nobody touched him. He landed, and then he just kind of fell to the ground and immediately needed somebody to come look at him, and he could not really walk off under his own power, and you could just tell that was a huge blow because he's definitely been a huge source of offense, and he's been that extra guy that you need. Of course, you know, Anthony Edwards, he's the star, and you've got Gobert there in the middle with all the defense, and then you got Julius Randle, that sneaky Swiss Army knife who could score you a bunch of points, who could get in the paint, and then he can also play some great defense. But DiVincenzo, he's just that other dude. He's that other dude that you need who's going to knock down that three-pointer at the end of the game that you need, or that three-pointer to tie it up or something of that nature. He's always there to make the big play. So that's going to be a huge loss for them throughout the rest of the playoffs, however much longer it goes on for them. But Dosunmu was the standout player in this game, which was super shocking. He had 43 points in this one. He went off. I mean, he was going off before the two guys got injured. But then once they got injured, he was like, I guess I got to do it all myself tonight. And it was all Minnesota Timberwolves all night, 112-96. Game 5 is Monday in Minnesota. And Minnesota could actually close this one out on Monday. They are up 3-1 on the Denver Nuggets right now. And then the last series we're going to talk about is the Toronto Raptors versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Raptors dominated game 4. They got the win 93-89. It was a back and forth game, but for the most part, Toronto had the upper hand. And I mean, Mitchell and Harden, they looked pretty ineffective for the most part in this game. And you could just tell Toronto was going to take this one. Barnes had 23 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. Ingram had 23 points and 6 rebounds, and Barrett had 18 points and 8 rebounds. So all their stars showed out in this one. Game 5 is going to be on Wednesday. This series is tied up at 2, so this is another good one as well. I expected this one to be a good one, but you know, I kind of feel like that Knicks-Hawks series is the much better one. But that's how we're looking so far with the NBA playoffs. Like I said, we should have some series complete here by Friday for sure, but there's some potential for a couple of game sevens as well once we hit the Friday show. So let's move on to baseball, but there was some big news before we get into the power rankings this week. Big news hit the baseball world, and that is the Boston Red Sox fired not only Alex Cora, their manager, but the entire or a good chunk of the staff as well. So, you know, the Red Sox have not been performing well. They do have a pretty stout roster, but they also have been underperforming over the last couple of seasons. So they decided to go ahead and fire the manager, which is kind of weird because it doesn't feel like a lot of the players agree with this move. So it's going to be interesting to see if this is a bad move from the Red Sox, or if it actually helps them in the future. But that was a big shakeup this weekend. Didn't really expect it because it kind of felt like I said, a lot of the players love Alex Cora. So I kind of feel like unless something major happens that you're going to keep your manager. But it kind of feels like something behind the scenes happened between him and the front office, and it was just like, get the fuck out of here, basically. So Alex Cora didn't seem too upset about it himself either. So that was the big news over the weekend, and we'll see if that improves the Red Sox season or not. I mean, like I was saying on Friday's show, we've got a lot of baseball left to go, so they could completely turn it around. It's only April. But that is big news and a big firing, and completely unexpected, as I said. So let's get into the top 10 MLB power rankings this week. Definitely won't be talking about the Boston Red Sox in that one. Because if they're firing their manager, that means they're not playing that well so far. So let's get into it. We do have a new number one this week, and it is the Atlanta Braves. They are the first team this season to 20 wins, by the way. They are 20-9 on the regular season and 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Washington Nationals and the Philadelphia 76ers, and they have just been dominating in every single way. They are in first place in just about every single offensive category and pitching category right now. Michael, and it's not even from people who you expect. You know, you would expect Acuña Jr. to be going off this year, and Acuña Jr. is basically the one underperforming compared to everybody else. You've got Michael Harris having a great year. You've got Olsen having a great year. You've got this rookie Drake Baldwin who just came out of nowhere, who is just raking every time he comes up to bat. Albies is finally healthy this year, so he's also having a fantastic year. Chris Sale continues his Cy Young performance, and then you've got Bruce Elder, who's having a solid year. It's just been just great baseball by the Braves. I mean, they just keep getting stronger. It just kind of feels like now that they're healthy, they are finally the team, at least that I expected them to be over the last couple of seasons. And we'll see what happens. They still have a couple of players that are on the injured list right now that they got coming back. So this team's probably going to get even better as the season moves on. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the San Diego Padres, overall record of 18-9. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Colorado Rockies and tied this and split the series with the Arizona Diamondbacks, a series that they actually played in Mexico. And they had a hell of a game yesterday. It was back and forth. It was like home run central. It was basically like every dude who came up to bat was just knocking them out of the park. Manny Machado had a fantastic game yesterday. He's actually been having a great season, but the San Diego Padres team, it just continues to get better as the season wears on. Offensively, they're amazing. Starting pitching's been great. Their relief pitching's been great. And there really are no weaknesses at all with the San Diego Padres team. And Fernando Tatis hasn't even hit a home run yet. So he hasn't even really got going offensively. So if he starts to get going, you're going to really need to watch out for this team because they've got a lot of offensive firepower, and I could see them getting better as the season moves on. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Cincinnati Reds, overall record of 18-10. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Tampa Bay Rays and the Detroit Tigers. Wrong sport. But the Reds are just... they are on fire. They are getting wins against good teams, against bad teams. They're doing great offensively. Their starting pitching is pretty good. I wouldn't call it deep at all, but they are just getting by in games. But it's really just their rookie Sal Stewart is raking. He's batting .291 with 9 home runs and 29 RBI. Ellie De La Cruz is having a fantastic year, batting .274 with 9 home run and 20 RBI. And they just are really taking care of business in every single way, shape, and form. They're great defensively. They're great offensively. And this is another team you look at, and there's not a lot of weakness when you go through that roster. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 18-10. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, so they are finally starting to get going once again. This past week, they swept the Boston Red Sox and then took the series over the Houston Astros. And, you know, while we're usually talking about the Yankees offense, especially because, I mean, it's difficult to get through this lineup without somebody scoring, especially now that Jazz Chisholm's starting to get hot, because you've got Judge, of course, having a fantastic year. You got Bellinger having a fantastic year. You've got Ben Rice having a career year. He's basically the dude right now. You've got Stanton having a fantastic year. I mean, Caballero's having a pretty good year as well. And you're getting a lot of offensive production out of them. But then you turn to their starting pitching, and they are getting some great production out of a couple of guys, and they have a couple of guys on the injured list coming up in the next couple of months. So Max Fried, he's continuing his dominance, 3 wins, 2.40 ERA, and 32 strikeouts. He's pretty much been money in all of his starts this season. But Cam Schlittler, he has really been a gem this year with 3 wins and a 1.77 ERA and 41 strikeouts. He actually leads the Yankees with both the low ERA and the strikeouts as well. So he has been having a great year and really hasn't withered at all in any of his starts. He's really been good. It's just the thing about the Yankees is their bullpen. Their bullpen is just hot garbage. And I kind of feel like that's going to be their Achilles heel if they don't do something about it. And, you know, that's kind of been their problem. You know, when they lost the World Series a couple years ago to the Dodgers, that was their problem then. Kind of had that problem last year. And it's like you kind of want to do something about that. The closer, Bednar, he's money. But in between the starting pitchers and Bednar, it's very, very shaky for the Yankees there. So they might want to do something to bolster up that bullpen if they are really serious about making a World Series run. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 17-11. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. And this has been one of the hottest teams in the league. This past week, they took the series over the Philadelphia Phillies. Actually swept them in 4 games, by the way. They did lose a series to the Dodgers, though, but they have been great offensively. Nico Horner has been, you know, he's been a very solid hitter for them, but this year he's actually, like, not just getting on base, but he's just become a really key factor in their offense. Currently, he's batting a .307. With 4 home runs and 23 RBI, and he leads the team in the 23 RBI. And that's what I mean. Is like he's not usually he's a guy who does get on base. He's similar to Luis Arraez, where he's got a nice batting average usually, and he's usually pretty reliable to at least get on base. He's not usually a dude who's hitting home runs. Sometimes he'll get a run here and there or RBIs here and there. But for the most part, Horner's a dude who just gets on base. But this year, he has actually upped his offensive production and is really becoming the dude on offense. And then with their starting pitching, Colin Ray, he's having a great year. He actually had a solid year last year, but this year he's really taken – he's pretty much their ace at this point. He's got 3 wins on the season with 24 strikeouts and really has been solid in each and every start for this season. But the Chicago Cubs, one of the hottest teams in the league right now and really starting to go and get going offensively. You know, Pete Crow Armstrong had a breakout year last year. And this year he started off quiet. But now this past week or two, he's really starting to get going. And now he might be getting back to what we saw last year, if not better. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings. Yeah, we haven't heard of the Dodgers just yet, but that's because, you know, they tumbled this week, and they really only tumbled because of their 10 games, their 10-game record here that I always talk about, because obviously they're not playing terrible baseball. There's nothing really bad to say about the Dodgers. It's just that a few other teams are performing better than them, and that's really just it. But the Dodgers, they've tumbled to 6 this week. They are 19-9 on the season, 5-5 in their last 10 games, and that's really the only reason why I dropped them, because everybody else is playing better baseball at the at this point right now. But trust me, Dodgers, still one of the top teams in the league. This past week, they split a series with my San Francisco Giants. That was very shocking that the Giants actually played very well in that series. And then the Dodgers took the series over the Chicago Cubs, and their starting pitching is looking solid. Robleski. Didn't think this guy was going to do a goddamn thing this year. Well, he is their ace at this point. He has 5 wins on the season with a 1.50 ERA. So he is money every time he comes out. And then Tyler Glasnow is starting to look like the Glasnow of old. You know, he's had to battle through injuries over the last 3-4 years. And now he looks like the old Tyler Glasnow. I mean, he came back last year, had a nice solid playoff run. And this year, he's looking like he's back to normal. He's got 3 wins on the season, a 2.45 ERA, and 38 strikeouts on the season. And he's also been money pretty much every start this season. He's been blown up, I think, in one game. But that's going to happen to you at some point. But Dodgers still looking good. And even though I dropped them down to 6, like I said, it's only because of their 10-game record compared to other teams right now. Other teams are a little bit hotter, and I kind of had to put them above them, but we all know the Dodgers are still the Dodgers until they're not. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks, overall record of 15-12. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Chicago White Sox and then split the series with the San Diego Padres. Like I said, that series was in Mexico, and they just went back and forth. But I will say, with this Arizona Diamondbacks team, I keep mentioning a new person, it feels like, every week. And now I'm going to mention another one. It is Ildemaro Vargas. He has come out of nowhere. He has 6 home runs on the season and 20 RBI. It leads the team in both of those categories right now. And he has, I think he's got like a 23-24 game hitting streak right now, or on base streak. I can't remember. It's one of the two, but either way, he's hitting. He is a guy who has just completely come out of nowhere. Nobody really expected this guy to be what he is so far with the Diamondbacks this season. Actually, as a matter of fact, I really didn't expect much from the Diamondbacks at all this season, and they are really a sneaky good team. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know if it's going to be something where they start breaking down towards the end of the season, you know, either due to injuries or just they're not really that good of a team, or they are really that good of a team, and they're actually going to be right up there with the Padres and the Dodgers in the National League West. But they've really been keeping pace with everybody. They've been looking good with starting pitching, with their bullpen, with the defense, and then especially with the offense. And they're playing great small ball. They're getting guys on base, they're getting stolen bases, and then they're getting the runs when they have to. So I just really like what I'm seeing from the Arizona Diamondbacks so far this season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 16-11, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds and then took the series over the Minnesota Twins. And Shane McClanahan, he's another pitcher who's missed 2 seasons in a row with, I think it was Tommy John both years. I know for sure 1 year it was Tommy John, and then another year, another injury. But I think it was both years Tommy John. Either way, He has missed the last two seasons due to injury and last two complete seasons. And I mean, before that, this is a Cy Young Award pitcher. You know what I'm saying? He's a dude who we all had a lot of high hopes for. He was pitching at a high level prior to those injuries. And so it's nice to see that he's back to pitching at the level that we expected. And his last couple of starts, he's actually looked like the old Shane McClanahan. Right now in the season, he's got 2 wins and 25 strikeouts and just seems to be getting stronger with each and every start. So you might want to look out for him because he might end up being one of those finalists for the Cy Young Award this year. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Detroit Tigers, overall record of 15-14. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Milwaukee Brewers and then lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds. And it just kind of feels like this team hasn't really found its stride yet. Every time they get going, they kind of start to fall back. Then once they start falling back, then they start to get going. So it's really like they do have an identity, but they really just, I don't know, it kind of feels like their starting pitching just isn't as strong once you get past Scooble. But we've got some young guys really taking over the offensive side of the ball. We've got McGonagall, Colt Keith, and Riley Green. These guys are all batting over 300. They're all pretty much really reliable once they come up to bat. And then they're also just great on-base guys where they're reliable for stolen bases, or they're just those guys who could get the hits that you need at the right point in time to drive in some runs and to get the win. But the Detroit Tigers right now, it kind of feels like they just are kind of walking through the mud right now, and they still kind of need to find themselves outside of Tarek Skubal. And then rounding out the top 10 power rankings this week, we still are talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates, which is very shocking. Overall record of 16-12 on the season and 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Texas Rangers, but took the series over the Milwaukee Brewers. And, I mean, it's just crazy to watch this team because they actually are playing really good baseball. It's not even just like fluke baseball. It's like they are actually a good team. And they're getting some great offensive production out of a lot of different guys. And Ryan O'Hearn is one of them, batting at .315 with 4 home runs and 16 RBI. And then, of course, you've got O'Neill Cruz having a career year. And they just have so many. You got Brandon Lowe, who is just, every time the dude comes up to bat, it kind of feels like if he doesn't knock it out of the park, he's getting on base. And he's just a hard out at this point. And then, of course, Paul Skeens kind of felt like he started off the season a little bit shaky, his first two starts. But since then, he has been lights out. He's got 4 wins on the season, a 2.48 ERA, and 30 strikeouts on the season. So he is back to playing Paul Skeens level baseball. So still talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates all season, every single week. On the MLB Power Rankings, we have talked about the Pittsburgh Pirates, which I think is very shocking because I didn't know if that was going to last. And so far, it has, because I kind of felt like this team, you know, they always underperform. But this year, they actually do have a lot of talent. They've got a lot of veteran talent that is stepping it up. They've got a lot of young guys that are stepping it up. And we'll see what the Pittsburgh Pirates got. If it's, you know, it's like I said, we still got a lot of baseball to go. So they could just all of a sudden be a team that starts to stumble once we hit the second half of the season. But they could maybe be a team that sticks around. But so far, it's been very, very shocking to me that every single week since the baseball season has started, I have actually been discussing the Pittsburgh Pirates. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.